Thank you, worship team. Again, welcome to worship tonight. As we've been going through a series, an Easter series that we've been calling Jesus Encounters, and just looking at one-on-one encounters that Jesus had on his way to the cross. And tonight we're gonna do that again. We're gonna look at the two criminals on each side of Jesus there as they hung on the cross. But here's what I've been thinking about encountering Jesus, encountering God. There's really a difference between knowing about something and encountering it. It is possible to know about God without actually encountering Him. And I love this passage in 2 Corinthians 3, especially in the Message paraphrase, because it's all about encountering God. Let me just read it to you. It says this: whenever, though, they turn to face God, as Moses did, God removes the veil. He removes the veil, the barriers that are between us and God. And there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone, no longer just, a Bible story. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters into our lives and we become like Him. That's what happens when we encounter God. When we come into a personal, forever relationship with God, it brings change into our life. People should actually be able to see a difference in the way we live out our life. And so sometimes I struggle when someone tells me that they're a follower of Christ, but and that they're a believer, but I don't really see any change in their life. Because listen, you can't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can't encounter God in a very personal way and not be changed and not be different. And sometimes, I share my story with someone and they just look at me and they go, wow, that's a great story, Or sometimes when I read a passage like this, I don't know how you responded when I read that, but most of the time it's like, yeah. And I want to go, what? I mean, this is amazing that we can encounter God and through that encounter, He changes us. And I sometimes guess, we have to go back to that old phrase that we always say, I guess you had to be there. I just guess you had to be there. And really, it's like that in anything in life, really. I could tell you that the sunsets over on the Gulf Coast are the most beautiful in all the world. But you're not going to be able to know that or until you go over there yourself and experience standing on those beaches and watching that big old orange ball continue to kind of fall down below the horizon and disappear. Or I could tell you that about just how great and exciting it is to stand in a stadium that with 90,000 other fans and begin to cheer and scream and the whole, it feels like the whole earth is shaking. But you wouldn't be able to know that unless you encountered that for yourself, unless you went to the Swamp or Dope Campbell Stadium or the Tampa Stadium or wherever and experienced it and encountered it yourself. I mean, I could tell you that the Krispy Kreme donut is the best donut from anywhere, right? That it is really heaven in your mouth when you bite into it. And I could tell you that and I could share that with you, but you wouldn't know that unless you went across to Krispy Kreme and actually bought one of those donuts when the hot light is on and tasted it for yourself. And then you would know that it's really heaven in your mouth. Well, listen, the same is true with our God. God never intended for his church just to see pictures and hear the stories of everybody else's encounter. He wants there to be a God encounter by you, for you and I to have our own personal encounter, our own stories. He never really intended you for you to come to church and hear about all those really cool stories. He never intended for you just to marvel at those great Bible stories. He wants you and me to get to know Him, and to have our own encounters with Him, encounters with our Jesus, times when we really experience Him and get to know Him better. And I can't lead you to God by telling you my story or someone else's story. You need to experience Him yourself. And when you have an encounter with God, a real encounter, you will be changed forever. When you experience Jesus, when you have your own personal encounter, people will see the change. Because the light of God will begin to shine through you. And you will begin to be able to glorify God because of your story. And when they see that, they will want to know Him and encounter Him as well. And so how do we do that? And it's really what this service is all about. I think the best way to really begin to encounter Jesus and encounter our God is to come to the cross. Come to the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." You see, the message of the cross is the power of God. And I think an encounter with Jesus begins at the cross. Coming to the cross. And so if you're looking to encounter the power of God, you need to go and come to the cross. You know, begin to ask the questions, what does the cross mean to me? What does it mean to our lives? What does it mean to our marriages, our families? And begin to let the cross remind you of the benefits that is ours at the cross. That it's more than just a piece of furniture. It's more than a piece of jewelry that we wear. It is something that has transformed our lives, and we are deeply connected and impacted by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We can encounter the power of God at the cross. And again, I think there's no better way to learn about encountering the power of the cross than just, you know, taking a look at the guys that were actually there. We're going to look at, the two criminals on either side of Jesus of the cross and how they encountered Him and it for themselves. Each one of them had different experiences, I think, that we can learn from there as we look at their encounters with Jesus at the cross. They encountered the power of God through what Jesus did on the cross. The first one I want to look at, I call him the skeptic. I mean, he was hanging there on the cross. And, you know, he's on the cross next to this guy that wasn't even supposed to be there. Jesus is right next to him. And Jesus doesn't deserve to be there, right? He's done nothing. He's done nothing wrong. He's hanging next to the Son of God. And Luke 23:39 says, one of those criminals, the skeptic who hung there, hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." And he mocked and he doubted that Jesus was the Son of God. You know, and sometimes we kind of just beat that guy up. But I really believe sometimes there's a skeptic inside of me. And maybe inside of you as well. There are times when we doubt. You know, when we're going through days like we've experienced these last few weeks. When things get really bad. Or maybe when we go through a tragedy. Things go wrong. They're not really turning out the way we plan. And the enemy begins to kind of throw doubt in our face. And we begin to question. We begin to question if He is really God after all. God, are you real? God, can you really do a miracle in my life? And we begin to doubt the power of the cross. Listen. You can be right next to Jesus and not believe. You can be in the church and still not encounter the power of God. You can be doing the right things and still miss it. This guy was so close to Jesus, and he didn't encounter what was available for him from Jesus. You know, when we think of those doubters in God's word, we immediately think of Thomas, right? Thomas, the disciple spent 3.5 years with Jesus, watching him do miracles, learning from him. And even after Jesus rose from the grave, Thomas wouldn't believe his buddies and the other guys that had seen Jesus. He said, I will not believe until I put my finger in the nail-scarred hand, until I put my hand in his wounded side. And again, I think sometimes I have a doubting Thomas nature. Times when I doubt my God. And I think for all of us, if we're honest, I think all of us deal with that doubt from time to time. And so when we're doubting and struggling with our faith, when our circumstances scream at us that God is not real, when the enemy lies to us and says, he's not your Savior, he's not God, when we doubt and we're at a crossroad of faith, we must come to the cross and believe. You see, the cross is a place where choices are made. The skeptic hanging on the cross was at the crossroad of faith, and a choice had to be made to believe or not to believe. And the cross drives us to that point of decision. We all have to make that decision. The reality of the cross forces us to go one way or the other. We can't be neutral. Do I believe or not believe? Is he the Son of God or just a good guy? Is he a liar or a lunatic, or is he Lord? Is he my Savior or not my Savior? We have to come to the cross and believe. And unfortunately, the skeptic decided that day not to believe. The second criminal on the other side was the one I call the seeker. He's hanging there, feeling the same pain as the other criminal, looking at Jesus. You know, Jesus is the only one of them that had received 39 lashes across his back. He'd been bitten, he'd been beaten and spit upon and tortured, really beyond recognition. And hanging there, hearing the scoffer, the skeptic mock Jesus, he says this in verse 40 of Luke 23. But the other criminal rebuked, talking to the skeptic. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. You know, the criminal I call the seeker decides to believe, and he was forgiven of all his sin. And that very day, he got to be with Jesus in heaven. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. He was with Jesus immediately. It proves the fact that we can't earn our way into heaven. That the wages of sin is death. Someone has to die. The payment is death. And we can let Jesus pay our debt, or we can choose to pay. We need that forgiveness for our sin. When we are covered up with shame and guilt and regret, we must go to the cross and receive and believe and worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. When Jesus walked into heaven, there was someone right behind him, a thief, a criminal, someone that had done wrong, someone that had disappointed their mom, you know, probably, someone that never got anything right, but he got one thing right, the most important thing. That day, he was being crucified by Jesus. A choice was made to receive and believe and begin to worship Jesus. And so if you and I, if we want to encounter the power of God, we must come to the cross and worship him. Come to the cross and worship. When you realize what you have been forgiven for, that all of your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future, it will cause you to worship him. Nothing I can do to earn it. I just have to receive His grace and receive His forgiveness. And when I do that, when I seek His forgiveness and not choose to stay stuck in my sin or my shame or my regret, you know, but instead I receive His forgiveness, it drives me to worship. And listen, it's never too late for us to come to the cross and worship Him. So tonight, will you receive, will you believe, will you worship Him tonight by coming to the cross? That's the power of God. And the moment you receive, believe, and worship, He makes all things new. For you see, the cross is a place for new beginnings. And so I don't want just to be a watcher of what Jesus did on the cross. I want to be someone that worships Him because of what He did for me. I love Chris Tomlin's song At the Cross and then how he connects that with the old hymn At the Cross. Let me just share with you Tomlin's words. He says this, at the cross, I surrender my life. I am in awe of You. I am in awe of You. Where Your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to You. I owe all to You, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. And then he begins to sing that old hymn. You know it, it's very familiar. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith that I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. And I want us to sing that hymn tonight. That, you know, I want it to be a song of redemption for all of us. A song of redemption, a song of peace, you know, a song of healing and freedom, because it's through the cross that we get to experience all that. And I want us to be unashamed, right? Nobody's watching you where you are there. You're there by yourself, just with your family. And so, you know, I want you to be unashamed. And we're able to do that. We're able to be unashamed in our praise and worship of our Jesus, because it's nothing that we've done. I mean, we haven't earned this relationship with Him. The only way that we can sing this song and be unashamed is because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. The cross is a place where God gave up His Son and spilt out His blood so that you and so that I could have a personal encounter with Him. Let's sing together.
At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burning of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I fell.
So tonight, will you come to the cross and believe and receive and begin to worship Jesus, the Savior? You know, Jesus was fully God and also fully human. The night before he went to the cross, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying there, right? He's crying out to God, agonizing over what he is facing. He is worried, and he can't sleep, he can't speak, you know, just thinking about what he's going through. And it's not just the physical or the emotional turmoil of knowing what was coming ahead. I mean, he knew the torture that he was about to face. He knew what he was going to go through physically. But I really don't think that was the real issue. The real issue is that he realized, I think, that he was going to take the blame, the guilt for every evil act ever done in the history. And it was going to be placed on him. I mean, just imagine the burden. And I really believe that's why Jesus prays in the garden. He says, Father, if it is possible, if there is any other way, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me. In other words, I don't want to have to take all the load on me. But then he said, nevertheless, thy will be done. When Jesus symbolically looks into that cup of suffering, I believe he saw every sinful act ever committed. And he knew he was going to take the guilt for every sin. He was going to take it all on him. And I really believe that's what he's struggling with, because he knew that by doing that, it would separate him from his Father. Because a holy God cannot look on sin. And I've shared this with you before, but I always like to imagine that Jesus there in that garden praying. I like to imagine that, you know, that Jesus is praying about me. So I want you to do that tonight, right where you are. I just want you to imagine Jesus in that garden crying out to God that he's praying for you. And he's saying, Father, is there any other way? Is there any other way that Monty can get into heaven except I go and die on the cross for all of his sins and pay for them? And God says, Son, you know that. There is no other way. You know that no sin can enter into heaven. Someone's got to pay for Monty's sin, your sin, either him or you. So Jesus Christ goes through all the trial and all the suffering and all the scourging, and they nail him to the cross. And on the cross, he says, okay, Father. You said if I took the judgment for Monty's sin, that he could go to heaven. All right, Father, let the judgment fall. And the skies turn dark, and for 3.5 hours, there's silence in heaven. Jesus Christ is taking the sin of the world, and in that moment of agony, Jesus on the cross cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And God the Father says, Son, you're carrying the world's sin. You're carrying Monty's sin on you right now. And so I have to turn my back. So every time I come to that and I'm reminded of that, I begin to understand that is love. That is unconditional love. And when they drove the nails through the hands of Jesus, I really believe they went straight into the heart of God. It was my sin and your sin that put Jesus Christ on the cross. And like Jesus, if we want to encounter the power of God, we must do what Jesus did. We must pray what Jesus prayed. Luke 22:42, he says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. That's the prayer we have to pray. We have to say, God, I want what you want. Your will be done. I want to encounter what you have for me, God. Your will is more important than mine. And so that's what we must do. We must come to the cross and surrender. Come to the cross and surrender. Surrender your control. Surrender your arguments. Surrender your will. Because you see, surrender is the key to how we receive, how we believe, and how we worship. So will you do that tonight? Will you come to this cross and be reminded of the love that God demonstrated to you through the sacrifice of His Son on that cross? And will you receive and believe and begin to worship Him with your life and surrender to Him? Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the way You demonstrated Your love to us, an unconditional, sacrificial love that allowed Your Son Jesus to go to the cross to pay for our sins, God. God, as we are reminded and as we begin to understand that love, God, may it compel us even tonight to be willing to surrender everything to You. To come tonight and say yes to You and worship You, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're about to move into a time of communion, and you know, communion is a very powerful time. It's a very important time, a very serious time. And so I want you to get your crackers and your juice or whatever you're going to use tonight and gather back together. If your kids are running around all over the house, bring them back in. And this might be the first time that you've been able to serve communion to your family. And I want you to know just how important it is and what really happens when we come to this table. You see, as we are reminded of the cross tonight, we come to this table and we remember. And really, we have opportunity to do three things, really. To look back and remember what God did for us through the sacrificial gift of His Son. To remember how Jesus went all the way to the cross and said, God, Your will be done. And He went all the way for us and took on our sins so that we could be forgiven. So that we could come into a relationship with our God, our Creator. So it's a time to look back and to be reminded of that. But also, as we come to this time of communion, it's a time to look within. To really begin to look within you and, you know, begin to evaluate your heart and your relationship with God. And for some of you, it might be the first time that you've ever, you know, begin to really think about whether you are in a relationship with Him or not. And so this call to surrender for you is for tonight to open up your heart and say, Jesus, come in. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I surrender everything to You. So right now, you can do that in this space. You can say, God, I confess with my mouth that I want You to be my Lord. And I believe that Jesus is Your Son and that He did go to that cross and pay for my sins. So right now, the best I know how, I want to believe that and to receive that mercy and that grace and that forgiveness. And come to know You as my Lord and my Savior. For those of us who know Him in that very personal way, it's also a time for us to look within, to make sure that we are in right relationship with our God. To see if there's anything that we do need to surrender to Him. Any sins that we're struggling with that we need to confess to Him. To surrender Him every part of our will to Him, every part of us to Him, every area of our lives to Him. So that we can know Him, so that we can truly encounter Him. But not only is it a time to look back or to look within, but it's also a time for us to look forward. That as we continue to walk in relationship with our God, we know that one day Jesus is going to come back and we're going to gather together with Him in that place called heaven at that great big banquet table where we will encounter Jesus face to face. So let's come to this time of communion tonight and let's look back, let's look within, and let's look forward. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he was up in that upper room with his disciples, and they were celebrating the Passover meal, right? The Passover celebration was something they had done many, many times in their life. It's something that was started thousands and thousands of years before when God freed his people, the Israelites, from slavery from the Egyptians. If you remember the story, that last plague was the death of the firstborn. And so God instructed Moses to tell the people of Israel to go out and to sacrifice a lamb. And to spread the blood of the lamb across the doorposts of their home. And then when the death angel would come by, he would see that blood and he would pass over them and they would be saved. And so Jesus in that room with his disciples said, this time this Passover meal is going to be different. I'm going to be that sacrificial lamb. One sacrifice for all time for the sins of many. And so he took the bread, and he broke it, and he gave thanks. So let me pray for us before we take the bread. God, again, thank you for giving your Son, for allowing him to be broken and beaten for us. Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that you went through the trial and through just the torture and you went to that cross. Jesus, may that love, may your love compel us to want to give you everything, to surrender all. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. And God's word says every time you eat of this bread, remember him. In the same way, he took the cup of juice and he said, this is symbolic of my blood that will be shed for the forgiveness of many sins. Pray with me. Jesus, thank you for allowing your blood to be spilt, for allowing your blood to flow so that we could experience forgiveness of our sins, so that we could be clean, so that we could every day come to God and confess our sins and know because of your blood being shed on that cross that our God will be faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us, not only just forgive us, but can cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. So thank you, Jesus, because it's by your blood, it's by your wounds that we are healed, that we are forgiven, that we come into a personal forever relationship with our God. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Drink this in remembrance of him. God's word and tradition says that a lot of times when they would finish celebrating the communion, that the church would gather together and sing a song of worship. And so we're going to do that right now. Our worship team is going to lead us and we're just going to gather together, wherever you are, you know, just gathering together, worshiping our Jesus, encountering him through the power of the cross. Let's stand amazed at really what he did for us on that cross. Let's sing together.
Shall ever be. How marvelous.
you. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, guys up there. Let me just say, we love you guys and so thankful that you are joining us and we're able to worship together like this. Let me encourage you that, you know, Sunday's coming. So I want to encourage you to invite people to watch our Easter Sunday. We'll be right back here at 10:15, so make sure that you're a part of that. Make sure you invite people to watch it with you, maybe not physically, but, you know, to create a watch party or whatever. And we look so forward to it. It's going to be a historical day, all right? It's going to be a historical day. Also, we have Bible study through Zoom, our adult Bible study through Zoom Sunday morning before our service. And so if you want to be a part of that, if you hadn't figured out how to do that yet, call somebody and they'll let you know. Call Dr. Abbott or call one of us and we'll let you know that. But thank you so much for being here on this Good Friday service. I hope that God has spoken to you tonight and that you have encountered him in a very personal and forever way. We love you. Let me pray for you one last time. God, thank you for this night. Thank you for your love demonstrated to us through the sacrificial gift of your son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for going all the way to the cross and beyond. And we look forward to celebrating Easter Sunday. Because we know that because you live, Jesus, we can face any tomorrow. We can face anything that's going on around us. The circumstances that we're living through right now, we're going to be okay. Because you live and you live in and through us. And we're able to take that love and share that with the world around us. So God, help us to do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We love you guys. Thanks for joining.